Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've traveled to and from Sacramento International Airport over the last few years, you know the experience can seem easy or at times frustrating. Since Terminal B expanded several years ago, there have been the addition of new amenities, restaurants, the People Mover Shuttle, as well as modern gates. But the terminal, which is really the main hub for Southwest Airlines, along with a few others, can get busy, like really, really busy. At peak times, the parking lot can fill up quickly, the security line can be long, and getting to and from the rental car or rideshare areas takes time, which can impact your flight or just getting home quickly after a long travel day. And Terminal A has been needed to be upgraded for years. Yesterday, Sacramento County announced a $1.3 billion expansion and improvement plan, which should modernize both terminals and improve parking, rental cars, and ride sharing for years to come. Joining us now is Cindy Nickel, director of Sacramento County Department of Airport, to talk more about these big changes coming to SMF. Welcome, Cindy. Good morning.
Thanks, Vicky. It's great to be here.
So many of us who have lived here for a while remember the airport before these major Terminal B expansion as well as the upgrade. Walk us through the history of Sacramento International Airport and its evolution.
Sure. So, you know, obviously it's grown over time as the passenger numbers have increased. We're a medium hub airport, and initially there was just one terminal. Then Terminal A was the new terminal. Terminal B was getting sort of older and older. And so in 2011, that terminal was replaced by a new terminal and concourse that are connected by an automated people mover.
Before we get into the details of what's coming to the airport in this latest expansion, how did this latest financial investment come about? Was it due to customer feedback, or has the need come from passenger traffic, which has increased over the years?
Yes, indeed. You know, we pay attention to the needs of all of our stakeholders. And among other things, yes, parking is one key metric. And we've come, oddly, Columbus Day is the busiest day that we have for parking, which is different from any other airport I've ever worked in. But so we came within 200 spaces out of our 18,000 of running out of room for parkers. So, you know, we've known for some time that parking was a key challenge. Also, people have changed their behavior and tend to park in the garage now, so we need more garage parking. Secondly, we also hear from our airlines. So Southwest, for example, is interested in adding gates. Other airlines are interested in adding service, and we're always marketing for new service to especially Europe or Asia. So we just need more gates.
Yeah. Well, let's focus on Terminal B. I mean, it looks good as it is. There's definitely a lot of people taking selfies in front of that red rabbit, either when they land in Sacramento or taken off. But what is the need specifically in Terminal B?
So Terminal B, we have several needs. One is we need to add 6 to 8 gates, which will probably be added to the west end of the terminal, of the concourse, excuse me. We also, that automated people mover I mentioned, it works, 98-99% of the time. But when it's not working, people have to walk in between the guideway, which gets increasingly narrow and steep and exceeds ADA standards. So we're going to be adding a pedestrian walkway that will have moving sidewalks and a hub where to transition levels from Terminal B is at a higher level than the concourse. So it'll be elevators and escalators to basically transition down. So that's going to be really critical to adding capacity. And people like me who just want to walk will be able to just walk.
Yeah. Given that you're proposing to add those 6 to 8 more gates, is that specifically just for Southwest Airlines, or is the goal to give more room for additional air carriers?
We have not designated who's going to take those gates. We do know that Southwest would like to have more. We understand other airlines have growth plans. So we're open-minded about that. It's not going to be available for a while, probably not till the summer of 2027. So we have some time to figure that out. But
yeah,
the airlines did have an opportunity, by the way. All the airlines who are part of our signatory to our agreement here had the ability to vote the projects down. And we heard on Tuesday that they did not do that. So that's a great sign of support from them.
What was the biggest piece of feedback you've received from airlines that operate out of Terminal B?
They're just concerned about the crowding and needing more gates to be able to provide more flights.
Yeah. With the addition of gates, I mean, I know a lot is still in limbo. We got about 4 years, but could this potentially include the addition of more nonstop routes?
Yes, you know, we're always marketing for more routes. Actually, this is an interesting statistic. The busiest route in the United States that's not served is between here and Orlando.
Really?
And so, yes. So we are pushing, we're always looking at the statistics. Where are people trying to go, especially where they have to hub through somewhere else? And we go and we meet with the airlines. We can't just tell them, nor can the FAA tell them to start flights to certain locations. So we have to convince them and show them how many people want to fly and that they can make money doing that.
Yeah. I mean, getting to the East Coast can be a challenge. It could be one or two layovers sometimes. So I can understand that. You touched upon parking and how, you know, it was kind of a squeeze at the end of last year. I know you were doing some renovations as well to some parking spots. Yeah. I know from personal experience, it got kind of nerve wracking in some moments, wondering if we were actually going to get a spot. So parking can be tricky, especially on those busy travel periods like you talked about, on holidays, even a random Friday. So where are these new parking spots, the parking building, where will it be? And will it just be for Terminal B or will it also be shared with Terminal A?
So the new garage, if you are familiar with Terminal B, there's a elevated walkway that goes across the inbound roadway. And then there are some stairs and elevators to nowhere. So that's where, on the west side of Terminal B, is where the new garage will be. So people will likely choose, people who are coming to Terminal B will likely choose it, and not A, which will free the existing garage for people in who are going to Terminal A, but they can park anywhere they want and walk further if they want.
How long could that take, the parking additions?
So the parking project, we are expecting to open it in the spring of 2026.
Great. Another component is rideshare, which has really picked up in recent years, and also the rental car pickup and returns. Yes. I mean, both are, they're a haul from the airport. You got to take a shuttle to get to the rental car pickup, and ride sharing is you have to walk across the street and go down an area, which can be confusing for people who aren't from Sacramento or haven't traveled through the airport. What improvements are going to be made on both of these fronts?
So we're going to centralize where all of our ground transportation happens. That's the TNCs, transportation network companies like Uber and Lyft, taxis, shuttle buses, regional transit, and commercial vehicles, all will be centralized between the two terminals. So we think that that will be more convenient and obvious for people.
Are these changes modeled after other airports that maybe people might be familiar with?
We look at other airports. You know, Nashville is doing something like a transportation center, a ground transportation center. You know, some airports have rail to the airport. We would like to ultimately combine that. But unfortunately, getting rail all the way out to the airport did not pass in the ballot measure in November. But we're preserving the right of way for that. So we do look at other airports. The consolidated rental car facility is something that we very much are looking at what other airports have done. And our number one complaint is people who have to take the bus. And so by bringing it closer in, people will be able to walk. And our whole goal is to make our terminal area a walkable campus.
Yeah. And getting this feedback is because capacity and traffic has increased over recent years. So a lot of these additions and expansions are to make room for the growth at SAC International Airport. Does that also include the TSA, the security check-in area? Will that expand as well? Because those lines can be pretty long, especially on the holidays.
You know, that's a really great question. We are not planning to move the TSA checkpoint at this time. We could ultimately move it into the terminal rather than keep it out at the concourse in B. We have already made a lot of improvements at the Terminal A TSA checkpoints. It's bigger and brighter and just more modern. So that is working quite well. One thing I'll mention is TSA does use dogs to sniff for bombs and other, you know, explosives. And so that is something that's actually expedited our lines.
Hmm. I feel like I'm running through a laundry list of questions that like me and my colleagues have all had because we all travel out of the airport and a lot of listeners as well. So I'm going to ask about with these upgrades and expansions, if there's going to be more options for dining or shopping in either terminal, Terminal B or Terminal A. I know with Terminal B, that Starbucks line can be a monster. It could be almost the length of what you would feel a flight would be sometimes.
Yes. You know what? That's a great question. So right now, it's difficult for the concessionaires who are providing food and beverage here to attract employees. So we've had trouble. That's one of the issues that we've had. So we actually put in Illy coffee machines, which are very popular in Europe. And so that's an alternative. But longer term, basically, the first half of this year, we're going to be putting out a request for qualifications for new food and beverage for 18 locations that are 30,000 square feet in both terminals. So we really want community involvement in this. So we put out surveys to our community and passengers to find out what they want. What kinds of food do they want? What kinds of offerings? What kind of price points do they want? So we got, I think it's over 2,500 responses to that survey. And so we're taking that into account in terms of what we are going to be asking for. So, yes, we expect to see a lot of change. Those would be put in place in 2024.
2,500 responses, that seems significant. What does that signal to you?
I think there's a lot of interest and pride that we have in our community and our passengers in this airport. So I think they feel like it's theirs and they want to have a voice in terms of, you know, what we offer.
Yeah. We've been talking a lot about Terminal B. What improvements or expansion will this $1.3 billion include for Terminal A?
Yes, thanks for that question. So in Terminal A, really the pinch points right now are the ticketing and the baggage area. So we're going to be adding a baggage carousel on the, I guess it's west side of the terminal. And we'll also be adding more ticketing room on the east side. So just more room when you enter that terminal. Mm. In the immediate sense, we'll probably be adding one gate to that terminal, just because when we add the 6 to 8 gates on Concourse B, we're going to lose two while we do the construction. So not temporarily, we're going to be adding a gate on A and also a gate on B to try to take care of that so we don't lose gates while we're doing construction.
Where is this money coming from? The $1.3 billion is in taxpayer money. So how is this being funded?
Thank you for emphasizing that. It is not taxpayer money. And basically, we have three traditional sources of money that we're using. One is federal grants. Another is passenger facility charges. When you buy a ticket, you pay $450. And then also user fees. So the airlines pay for landing fees and terminal rents. We also have, as I mentioned, various fees that are charged to passengers. We get parking revenue. We get revenue from the food and beverage concessionaires, et cetera. There are three new sources that weren't here when the big build was done in 2011. One is Congress passed the bipartisan infrastructure law, which brings us about $70 million that we'll be able to use. Also, we have a customer facility charge that rental car users pay now. And there are new low-cost federal loans that are available to us that we'll be taking advantage of.
Given that all of these improvements are to improve the customer experience as well as just make things more convenient for passengers, but it is going to take some time. It's going to take a few years, which means there could be some, I don't know, growing pains during that time. When does construction start and how is the airport going to try and reduce and mitigate any disruption to passengers during this time?
You know, that's a great question. Most of the projects are going to be in areas that don't currently serve passengers. So there will be minimum amount of disruption for them. The first project will be the pedestrian walkway that will start next summer. And the one area, so when we do the terminal gates, as I mentioned, we'll probably lose two gates, but that'll be walled off. And it's going to be, the construction will be in an area that there won't be any passengers. The one thing that may affect people is when we do the ground transportation center, we need to move some roads So while we're changing the roads over, there could be a little bit of disruption that our passengers experience. But I have experience when we did this kind of project in San Francisco at the airport there. I was on staff as finance director, and we put in place measures to make sure that it didn't disrupt people's, you know, activity trying to get to and from their flights.
Cindy, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. May I just say that we have a website now that we've launched, and it's a great source of information and also getting feedback from people. So it's smforward.com.
Great. Thank you so much. And we'll have a link to that on our Insight page as well. Cindy Nickel is the director of the Sacramento County Department of Airports. Thank you for talking to us about the improvements and expansions for Sacramento International Airport. Up next, we'll learn about the great migration of African Americans during the 1900s and how it shaped the fabric of the Sacramento Valley today. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.